The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
The referees don't belong to any team on the field. In fact, if they commit to either team on the field, they've illegitimized themselves.
Next, Dr. Tony Evans reveals a new kingdom perspective that opens our eyes, hearts, and minds to see ourselves and each other as God sees us.
We pick sides, racially, culturally, and politically, so the league office in heaven said, I ain't fooling with none of you refs, okay? Because you belong to another kingdom while you're operating on this field of play.
Joining us on Life Today, I'm Betty Robinson, this is James, and we have our special guest back, Dr. Tony Evans.
Well, he is just absolutely so full to overflowing. Now, listen, keep your seatbelt buckled because we're going somewhere. And I'm telling you that this book, Oneness Embrace, I've already got my finger stuck to a place clear back here. Welcome, Dr. Evans, because we're going to talk about what he talks about in the book, Oneness Embrace. It's just too important to ignore. Now, Doc, I've got my finger kind of stuck in a place over here. Now, you're talking about racial reconciliation here in the book, but more than that, you're talking about the reconciliation that needs to happen in order for any other problem to be settled, and that is the reconciliation among believers, not to where we all agree on every point. See, I think that's a mistake we got in marriages, that anytime you have a disagreement, well, you just divorce. Well, the sad thing is that the church has kind of set that image because every time we have a disagreement, well, we split and fight, right?
Right.
You agree, you see it.
Absolutely.
Like that. And it's caught up with us. In the book, you talk about oneness among the believers. You talk about racial reconciliation, about walls coming down, people coming together. And then you talk about the kingdom agenda, which you say changed your life years ago. How many years ago would you say the kingdom agenda just sort of settled in on you where you could see the big picture, the real broad covering of God?
I would say it in seminary, because I had to wrestle in seminary with a number of conflicts that I was seeing. I was on the one hand facing some racial conflicts because I had professors who were pastoring churches that we weren't welcome in, even though I was a student at seminary.
As a black.
As African-American. So there was the racial tension. Then there was the social issues that I was seeing around, and I was seeing the divide between politics, for example, where the black church was committed to the Democratic Party, the white church was committed to the Republican Party. How did God fit into all that? So was there something bigger than these divisions, I would think? So it was social, it was political, it was economic, it was racial. And then I discovered Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, he's doing reconnaissance around the wall of Jericho. While doing reconnaissance, he looks over and he sees the captain of another army. So he looks at the captain of the army and he asks him, whose side are you on? Because my mom ain't raised no dummy. If you on Jericho's side, we got two armies to fight. If you on our side, we have help to fight Jericho. So before I go out here and make a fool out of myself, whose side are you on? To which the captain says, I'm neither on your side, nor am I on their side. I am captain of the Lord's army.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I did not come to take sides, I come to take over. So that means that he overrules even his people Israel.
Yeah.
When I discovered that God wanted this overruling position, that he doesn't ride the backs of donkeys or elephants.
There you go.
That he sits above it. That if you go into a Democratic voting booth or Republican voting booth, you ought to come out as a kingdom person regardless of your political persuasion. You know, in football, there are three teams on a field. There's the home team, there's the visiting team, but then there's the team of refs. Now, let me say a word about the refs, okay? The referees don't belong to any team on the field. In fact, if they commit to either team on the field, they've illegitimized themselves. They belong to the kingdom called the NFL, headed by the commissioner. Yeah. They have a book. The book sets the rules for how things operate on the field. If they pick sides, then the league office is not on their side. We pick sides, racially, culturally, and politically,
right.
So the league office in heaven said, I ain't fooling with none of you refs, okay? Because you belong to another kingdom while you're operating on this field of play.
I love it. You like it? Is that the truth? It's really absolute. In simple terms, it's the absolute, absolute. One of the things that I'm telling you, I have read the book, and I've said it every day on the air. I read it this way, in the manuscript. And when I will wade through my own manuscript, it's a miracle. When I wade through somebody else's like this, it's God. It's kingdom. That's what it is, buddy. God was pressing it on me. And I began to see the kingdom in even a fuller picture. Because it is amazing that in the weeks and perhaps months before you sent me this book, you knew I was praying for oneness with all the family of God. Mm-hmm. And you knew how long you've watched me work with you alongside to have oneness racially, where there's not that divide. But I was beginning to see the kingdom. And when I got your book and I saw how the kingdom had impacted you, how the truth of it, and I began to read, one of the things I saw was you pointed out the catastrophic consequences in New Orleans and on the Gulf Coast when Katrina came. The real problem didn't come from the storm. I mean, it didn't. It didn't come from Katrina. He says it so well. Katrina just went on its destructive way. It just kept continuing on, doing what hurricanes do. The problem in New Orleans came when the levee broke, when the walls broke. That's when the destruction came. And the walls, the hedge, the dam against the hellishness of this world and the destruction and the storms of the world's kingdom and the deceiver can only be held back by what? The force of the church,
absolutely,
the kingdom.
Absolutely.
That's the hedge.
Absolutely.
And that's the hedge that's down, which is one reason we've got so much chaos and one reason I've seen we don't have the imprint of God's kingdom on much of anything, from arts to entertainment to the media to Washington to the political or to the economic.
The world has nothing to emulate because the church is not modeling it. We're like an embassy. America has embassies all around the world. And an embassy is basically a little bit of America a long way from home. All embassies are sovereign territory. They do not belong to the country they're from. They belong to the country. They don't belong to the country they're in. They belong to the country they're from. You get in trouble, you go across that gate. You're in America now because the laws of America rule. Well, the church is supposed to be a little bit of heaven a long way from home. So that while in foreign territory, the rules of eternity apply in foreign land so that that foreign land can see this embassy at work.
That's exactly right. And let me tell you, buddy, you jump all over major issues. And I mean, I can't tell you how proud I am of the Jesus in you, but also how thrilled I am that you will take real problems that the media is misrepresenting and a lot of the church is misrepresenting. I'm going to take one of the major terms that's getting a lot of play today in the media in Washington. It's called social justice. Now, here's the thing you need to understand. We got some media reps. I know Glenn Beck, for instance, has said, if you hear anybody say social justice, pack your bags and run. Well, Glenn, that really wasn't a real good suggestion. You know, I talked to you. Because, see, there's some people who will make a term, and they're referencing something that the term may not totally encompass or that you may not see as the problem. But I want you to know, here's someone who understood and understands the need for social concerns that are realistic to real people. And I want you to listen to how he addressed it right here in this book. All of you listen, because this is very, very important. The kingdom agenda, this is on page 162. Get the book. Now, here on the pages I had, it didn't match. This is good. And I marked up there, but I went ahead and marked over here in the book so I could actually read it out of the book. And now look at the kingdom agenda involves promoting this freedom, the freedom Christ offers, through the vehicle of what is often called in our contemporary society, social justice. Now, I want to tell you something. A lot of people are using social justice. Radical Muslims are using it. The Muslim Brotherhood's using it. Communist thinkers use it. The people who are anti, let's just say, capitalism will use it because they say that's the enemy, and yet the only thing that can possibly help alleviate poverty is some form of wealth in order to have any meaningful application.
Absolutely.
You gotta have a field where you're growing something before you can feed anybody.
Absolutely.
So the field of productivity is not the problem. So we're really attacking the wrong enemy. But they're taking this term social justice, and listen to what Dr. Evans said. Because I'm telling you, this just jumped all over me. I think I stood up in the den and had a shouting party for a minute. Because this is such incredible wisdom coming from somebody
keep
who
talking.
Understands. I'm gonna keep reading, reader. Here I go. Here it is. Now listen to it. However, social justice has become a convoluted term. I hardly even know words that big. I have to read them in your book. A convoluted term, meaning different things to different people. It is often used as a catchphrase for illegitimate forms of government that promote the redistribution of wealth as well as the collectivistic expansion of civil government, which wrongly infringes on the jurisdictions of God's other covenantal institutions, family and church. Such a view of social justice is a contradiction and denial of biblical justice, since biblical justice seeks to protect individual liberty while promoting personal responsibility. For example, the biblical injunction of thou shalt not steal includes areas such as government-sanctioned theft through state-enforced redistribution of wealth and illegitimate taxation. Do you all understand how profound that statement is? Do you and this audience understand? That is not only a profound statement, Dr. Evans, it is not only profound and powerful, it is absolute, irrefutable truth. You go on to say that when you want to talk about justice, rather than using the term social justice, which is convoluted, to use one of your terms, you are now using biblical justice, which again, you're putting everything under the umbrella that our founders frankly understood, because that, would you agree, the imprint of God's kingdom was all over that diverse group when they adopted a declaration and constitution that rebuked even the way some of them were living.
And that was the contradiction. It was a tremendous framework that was not consistently applied.
There you go. But it came from the footprint of kingdom influence on those people that even crossed where you could talk about a deist, or even one some people say might have been an atheist. They still said, you know what, this is rock solid foundational truth that ultimately had to lead them to repentance.
And if the church would have consistently modeled it, the document would work for the nation.
Absolutely.
How can you be one nation under God if you can't even be one church under God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One marriage under God.
One marriage under God, or whatever it is, absolutely.
All right, let's just look now, because this is what I really believe. If the church will get out from under that covering, whatever it is, and get in kingdom light, under kingdom authority, and pierce the darkness to expose the error of our ways,
sure,
and illuminate the way, we can begin to have civil discussions, get a better civil government, that is in line with biblical principles, not a theocracy by any stretch, going to make room for people to live their life with a clenched fist in the face of God. God's given them that liberty.
Absolutely.
Our government will give them that liberty.
Absolutely.
But they don't need to tell us that certain inappropriate actions are now appropriate to alter the truth of God or sound principles because of the failures in their own personal life or their failure to measure up to the standard. Does this make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely.
If all the people that are quiet would just come out of a closet and get out from under the pew and out of the pew and decide to vote principle and conviction and go ahead and shout it from the housetops, we're not going to support someone that doesn't support principle. You're going to have a brief term. We'll get you out as fast as we can. We're going to put people in who understand principle. If all the people who claim to know God, if they would really get under kingdom position, the silent majority would suddenly speak so loudly that it would be like a mighty wave of God that would literally overpower the hellishness of the walls of hell.
If God's people would become kingdom people rather than just church folk, if they understood that all the hours of every day of every week belong to the kingdom that they are a part of, and they operated within this, the society would have to adjust to the church rather than the church having to adjust to the society.
There are two words that you have brought up earlier and in our conversation today that really hit home with me. One of them is being a victim, and the other one is being an overcomer. Even as a young Christian, I allowed the enemy to make me a victim through fear, through inferiority, through rejection, through lack of being able to get into God's Word and really let God speak to me. So any of us can become victims. But if we will allow God to free us and deliver us from all those strongholds that hold us back, we can become overcomers. Therefore, we live kingdom living.
Absolutely. And nothing is more powerful than having something that God has to enable you to overcome watching him take you over it and seeing what used to hold you hostage, seeing the storm that covered you, now you're walking on that storm.
Yes.
It changes your whole perspective.
Absolutely. Yes. Dr. Evans, we're going to be an answer to the prayer of Jesus, mm-hmm. that we be one. Because you and I are as one as we know how to be. Mm-hmm. If we're going to get any more one, Jesus is going to have to show us some more of himself that we haven't quite seen yet. Yeah, because we are as committed to him as you and I know how to be. But we're also committed to them.
Absolutely.
We're committed to the people Absolutely. And to the purpose of God on this earth. I believe we're going to see something wonderful happening. I think the stage is set for the greatest awakening in the history of the world. Now, that's what I believe.
Well, Hebrews 12 would validate that. It says, when God creates discontinuity in society, it says it is because he is working something up spiritually.
Wow.
So the worse things get, it's because he's setting something up for him to show off, it says, his unshakable kingdom.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. it. And that's the one we're in. So here's the thing, though, I really would like for you to hear. And let me get you to come to me right here. I know we don't like to take that camera off Betty. I'd rather look at her than even look out here. But listen to me. This is the situation you've got to see. A lot of people, they miss the kingdom by deferring it to the future always.
Right.
They don't
right.
see the present.
Right.
See, we know there's a kingdom. It's like you said in another... perhaps another program, you may have even said it today. We've talked about it a lot. But if you own a team and you got no opposition, there's no
right.
challenge.
Right.
So the bigger the opponent that you have to go against, and the more when you win, the bigger the victory.
Right.
The bigger the joy. We got a big enemy, the powers of darkness,
Absolutely.
Principalities and powers in the heavenlies. So we have got a battle. Okay, so we're in the war. But the point is this, and Dr. Evans, I believe we're right in step on this. We can wait until everything caves in. Or we could respond to the invitation of God and let his kingdom power come on us so that we make a kingdom imprint on this earth right now. Now, I believe that's the will of God for us. We can wait until the catastrophic consequences that are being set in order, or we could respond to the invitation of Jesus to come like chicks under the hen's wings for the shelter of the Almighty. Don't you think God's inviting us to that?
I think God is creating an opportunity that you don't want to miss and not take advantage of, because then we'll have to repeat it again later on.
Mm. Wow. Mm. Father, I pray that everyone watching today will have ears that are tuned to channel Jesus to truth and realize that you want to establish in us your purpose on this earth and express it through us and answer the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in us right now on earth. That's Jesus' prayer. He said, you pray it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in us right now. Would you say thanks to Dr. Evans for sharing with us? Tony, we love you. Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, fabulous. I just say thank God. I think, Dr. Evans, you may have been the first African-American to attend Dallas Theological.
Get a doctorate from Dallas.
First doctorate from, and I just, that's such a great school, pointing us back to a line of authority that's as unshakable as Jesus the Rock, as far as truth. And it's that truth that can be so liberating.
Absolutely.
But we don't ever want to divide over it. I don't care where we come from. And you made that very clear. But I thank God for your heritage. I thank God for all the leaders. Thank God for all the wise people who endorse this book. Church leaders, seminary professors, leaders all over the world. And I even got my word in there because you made me wade through this manuscript so I can see it. Hey, we will gladly send this to you. You can go there's Dr. Evans' website. Find out what he's doing to help churches know how to impact their community. The mentoring program for school children to show them what a father's like. So many beautiful things on the website. You can get the book there. But if you would simply help us rescue some children out of the sex trafficking horror, just help us do that. Whatever level you can help, do what God puts on your heart. We'll gladly send the book just to say thank you. And it's going to bless your life, help you understand kingdom reality in your life and in your situation right now. But I want you to watch closely. And I always ask you to watch with your heart. Please, look, don't turn away from this, because you're the answer to the problem. You really do have the answer.
Thank you. I look at the faces of these beautiful young people singing. They're singing songs of gratitude to God for a place that's been granted to them, for the love that's come to them. Now, many of those children, many of them, are orphans, and they had no one to take care of them. And others were dangerously at risk of being captured into slave trafficking. But now they're transformed. They're singing about Jesus, and it's all available to them because of love that came from people like you.
Well, you know, when I looked at even earlier in that really that very difficult to watch piece, except for the Life Center, you could see, but I saw just a row of girls there, Betty, at first, that were weeping, that were trapped. They were slaves, held captive in the sexual predation where they primarily prey on children, and they literally hold these children captive. And Betty, we can rescue them. And when I saw that Life Center, wasn't that beautiful? You did it. You took the dream to help someone beyond our vision. When you said, let's do something special in really the sex capital of the world for exploitation of children, Thailand. And that's where that center is, the House of Destiny. And right now in other countries all over Asia, we are renting quarters with the mission workers and relief workers. And some of the areas we can't mention by name, it would jeopardize their safety. But we could take those rented quarters and we could literally, with your help, convert it and have another home like that. But Betty, to see those children singing who had been in prison, see the love
of
God.
It's beautiful, James. They've gone to a safe haven now, a place where they can experience love and joy and peace coming from a place where they were had no choice in what they do, a place of fear and hurt and pain and destruction and being abused completely, but to a place where they can feel and act like children should be able to. You know, to be able to have a place where they can laugh. There's nothing sweeter than the laughing of a child. And you have been a part of that, and I know you want to help even more of the children that are out there desperately crying for help.
Let me tell you, Betty, and all of our friends watching, and I thank you for emphasizing exactly what can happen. And what it takes is simply you dialing the telephone number, and you know that number's there. If you needed someone to pray with you, someone to share your concern, to be a shoulder. You need a shoulder sometimes to lean on, not a sermon. You need a shoulder. Well, it's always there. But if you would dial it today, you would be offering, like Betty said, a haven, a place of escape in the arms of love. And you could see that at the Life Center. I mean, what a change. If you would simply dial that number, take your bank card, use it like a check, or write a check, make it to Life. Go online, lifetoday.org, and make the best gift you can. Keep this in mind. $128 to rescue one of those children, one of those girls, or one of those women. That's the average cost. We're asking as many of you as can, could you give enough money to rescue $1,280? Could you possibly do that? Would you right now dial the number, use that card, give the gift of life to someone? Please do that. Father, I pray you'd move on every heart listening to go, to call, and to make the best gift they possibly can, in Jesus' name. We have some beautiful gifts to send to you. We're sending the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze to those of you that'll help us rescue 10 or more. Some of you may be able to do more than that. The butterfly effect, I'm telling you, you can set waves of healing in motion that are indescribable. You have that effect. Thank you for making that call. Please do it. If you were to get a busy, you say, I'm going to get through because I'm going to rescue someone. Thank you for doing it.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your support of Mission Rescue Life, you can help rescue more than 5,000 children from the horrors of the sex trade in parts of Thailand, India, Cambodia, and other targeted nations. Together, we can reach vulnerable families and children by providing much-needed food and relief. We can rescue those already ensnared by offering them a way out. And we can restore their hearts, minds, and bodies to enable them to enjoy life as God intended. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this lifestyle. As our way of saying thank you, please request The Butterfly Effect, How Your Life Matters. The story of this book reveals how you were specially created by God to make a difference and have the power to change the world. As a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children. With your gift, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture that demonstrates God's fatherly love for us as His children. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
From the depth of my heart, I want to say thank you. If you could hear the gratitude expressed from these women and girls that are rescued, and oftentimes little boys, exploited, sold. Be all you need to give you joy. We have some beautiful gifts to send you. I want to remind you, Oneness Embrace, there's Dr. Evans' website again. Find out all they're doing to help churches, help your church. I pray Dr. Evans will be heard speaking to the nation. I really do pray that. And what God's put on his heart that's so critically important to everybody right now is in the book. We'll gladly send it to you. Just help us. Make whatever gift God put on your heart. And help us rescue these precious girls and these children. Thank you for it. Dr. Evans, thank you. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks to her? Bless you. Bless all you do, buddy. All over the world. Your impact. Thank all of you for what you do. You make this possible. Thank you.
Get one of the hottest tickets in the Metroplex. Come be a part of the Life Today studio audience. You'll be inspired and entertained. Call or email to reserve your tickets today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.